israelisreal.com, israelisreal.weebly.com. You can email us at israelisreal1590@gmail.com, israelisreal1590@gmail.com. One of our sponsors is Vision.
Did you know that Vision is an organization that educates our community about the little country of Israel? Did you know Israel is approximately about the size of New Jersey? To receive Vision's emails alert and be informed about Vision's educational activities and opportunities, please visit Vision's website at www.newhampshireforisrael.org. That's www.nh4israel.org.
This morning, we have a very exciting guest who we will meet very soon. Before we do that, we would like to speak about International Holocaust Day. Although in Israel we have a Holocaust Remembrance Day around May, the international community celebrated it this week. And we'd like to say a few words about International Holocaust Day this week.
The International Holocaust Day is always in January 27, because it's the day when the Auschwitz concentration camp was liberated by the Soviet troops. And this concentration camp was the largest extermination camp of the Second World War, where 90% of those murdered at the camp itself were Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular day is now recognized by the international community as a day to remember the most horrific event in the world history, the Holocaust. Before 2 days ago, in his speech, the Polish president, Lech Aleksander Kaczynski, stated that in Auschwitz, and I'm trying to say in his word, they killed Jews because they were Jewish, they killed Polish because they were Polish, and they killed Russians because they were Russians.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, what the distinguished president has said does not concur with the historical facts.
And tell us why.
Rudolf Höss, which was the commander of Auschwitz camp, the Nazi commander, said in his testimony in Nuremberg trials that no less than 3 million Jews were murdered in Auschwitz.
No less.
The rest, including 150,000 Poles, 23,000 Roma and Sinti, the gypsy, mm-hmm. and 50,000 Soviet prisoners of war suffered under similar conditions.
Mm-hmm. But that means they were in the camps.
They've been in the camps. Mm-hmm. The Poles, they've been there not because they've been Poles, but because they've been probably communist partisans, etc.
They were not with the government. Probably.
Exactly. The difference is not only in quantity, but in the title or the intention implied by the title that the German Nazi regime assigned to their action. And this action was called the Final Solution.
We all know about that. But
so the intention was to exterminate not only the Jewish nation,
mm-hmm.
but also every reminder that the Jewish nation ever existed.
In other words, to wipe out the entire existence that there was such a people, such a nation.
Exactly.
Not even to have a single reminder of our existence.
Exactly. And this was not the case with the Poles and the Russians, with whom the Nazi intention was to transform those people into slaves. Not that this is much better, but at least you have a hope to stay alive.
Right, you have a continuity once that era kind of finishes.
So this is why Mr. Kaczynski do not comply with actual historical fact, and we cannot accept his words. Rather, they are a distortion of the facts. If we accept this distortion, we will never fully understand, nor will we be able to learn from the horrific events of that time, and we will close the doors forever to building a better future based on moral values.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's really important. Really important. We'll talk more about the Holocaust on Israel Holocaust Day.
Absolutely.
Right now, I'd like to just mention our Hebrew word of the day, which is makor.
Yes, and makor means origin or source. And we must ask the origin of what? Origin means the beginning, starting point, cause, or ultimate source from which a thing is derived or generated. For example, creation according to Genesis, the Hebrew creation process as told in the first book of Genesis. Or genealogy, the origin of families. And here I think that we have the case. Mm-hmm. And our story today is?
Our story today, actually I found through Facebook actually, saw an article that somebody had put up and I was fascinated by what I read. And our story today is about a man who grew up in Kuwait as a Muslim. He grew up believing that Israelis and Jews were bad people. Then one day, by chance, he learned that his maternal grandmother is Jewish.
Which is his mother.
His mother's mother,
yeah.
Which made his mother Jewish.
Which made him Jewish.
Which made, in effect, according to Jewish law,
exactly.
Made him Jewish. So he came to realize that he was therefore Jewish, and which inspired him to go on a quest, and ultimately led to his questioning of his perceptions of Israel and the Jewish people, and finally to embrace Judaism. And we would like to welcome today. We're on a telephone interview today. We're actually not in the studio,
right?
And we'd like to say shalom to Mark Halawa. Are you there, Mark?
Shalom. How are you?
Hey,
shalom.
Hi, Mark. It's work. Good. We are speaking by the computers. Nice.
Thank God for technology.
Modern technology, yes. Mark,
yes.
Your story is really, really fascinating. It grabbed me when I read it at first on the internet, and it's very inspirational. Can you tell us a bit about how you came to discover your Jewish roots?
Thank you, and thank you very much for having me today.
You're welcome.
Welcome.
As you mentioned earlier, it wasn't really planned. The timing was definitely a surprise. I was having my final exams, and while I was studying at University of Western Ontario in London, Ontario, Toronto. London, Ontario, close to Toronto, and happened to have stumbled upon this older gentleman that I felt like talking to him, and I opened my heart and wanted to speak to him a little bit about how I feel about Jews and. Since I have many friends of mine at the fraternity at that time, and told him that I've heard a lot of bad things about the Jewish people and a lot of propaganda we heard in the news, and I always thought of my grandma and how could she be like those horrible people that the news is telling us about.
You for a minute? This man who you met, why were you talking to him suddenly about Jews?
Honestly, I mean, without having to go to the detail so much, mm-hmm. There's in the library, in the interest of the library, there's a payphone area, and I was going to use the payphone, and I saw him sitting there, and he looked like a religious Jewish man.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked him, hey, are you Jewish? He's like, no, I just like to dress this way.
Good anecdote.
I was confused. I didn't know whether to laugh or not laugh. I didn't know if it should be funny. Then I sat down, and I told him a couple of things. He offered me to sit down and let me elaborate. I think it was exam time, and I just wanted to speak to someone. Then we spoke a little, and I told him my story. And after he heard me saying everything, he said, well, if is the grandma you're speaking about your mother's mother or your father's? And I said, she's my mother's. He mentioned, well, by Muslim law, you're a Muslim, which is something I knew. And he said, by Jewish law, you're a Jew. Now, that came a little bit of a, was kind of a shocker, because I did not know that matrilineally you could be Jewish through the mother's blood.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked and skeptical at the same time.
Uh-oh.
Try it again.
Mark, are you still there?
No.
We lost Mark.
We'll get him
back.
We'll get him back on the phone.
We'll get him back. Maybe now's a good time for a break, and we'll get Mark back on the phone, and we'll hear the rest of his story. So this is WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. Israel is real.
For your WSMN community calendar, I'm George Papoulias. Get ready to indulge in a tasty spaghetti supper while taking part in a fun Western theme. Friday, January 29th, the YMCA will be hosting its second annual Western Hoedown and Spaghetti Supper. The event takes place from 6 to 8, and spaghetti will be served until 7:30, which will also include free dessert. So dress up in your cowboy gear and get ready for some dancing and good eating. The YMCA is located on 17 Prospect Street. Call the Y at 882-2011. That's 882-2011 for more information and required registration. Riviera College will be presenting an undergraduate day admissions information session on Saturday, January 30th at 10 a.m. You'll get to talk with Riviera students, meet faculty members, tour the campus, explore more than 40 majors, and get answers to financial aid and admissions questions. Register online at riviera.edu or call 1-800-447-4843. That's 1-800-447-4843 to reserve your space. To promote your event, email us at calendar at wsmnradio.com.
1590 WSMN
and wsmnradio.com.
1590 WSMN
and WSMNradio.com.
Mormart will be hosting a spring Easter care package for the troops event from March 4th through the 6th, and your donations are vital to make this project a success. Mormart is a nonprofit volunteer organization whose mission is to send care packages to members of our armed services serving in the Middle East. And to date, Mormart has shipped over 24,000 care packages to servicemen and women serving overseas. For details on how to donate care package items, cash, or volunteer, go to mormart.org. That's mormart.org.
The images from Haiti are heartbreaking. Homes, hospitals, and schools are destroyed. Families searching for loved ones. Parents trying to feed their children. But we can all do something. We can help the American Red Cross as it delivers the food, water, and medicine that can save lives. Donate $10 by texting Haiti to 90999. Visit redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. Thanks for your help.
Made it to the corner office sooner than most. Workaholic. Bought the house of our dreams and finally took the family on a well-deserved vacation. Who would have thought that our lives could be tripped up by a gland the size of a walnut? Prostate cancer. I was so busy moving up that I missed the most important meeting of my life, the one with my doctor.
Talk to your doctor about being screened for prostate cancer. Log on to nhprostatecancer.org.
Sergeant Matthew Kyle was on his second tour in Iraq when injured.
I was shot in the neck by an Iraqi sniper on combat patrols.
As a quadriplegic, Sergeant Kyle will require specialized medical care and benefits for the rest of his life. That's where Paralyzed Veterans of America can help. National Service Officer Bobby Hager explains.
A National Service Officer exists solely to help veterans get their benefits. We're able to fill out all of the forms and applications and ask for all of the benefits that that veteran's entitled to.
Matthew's wife, Tracy Kyle.
We don't have the knowledge to go through this by ourselves. And these benefits are going to take you through the rest of your life.
If you don't ask for a benefit, the VA can't give it to you. The veteran doesn't know what to ask for.
We could not have done this journey without the Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Paralyzed Veterans is an independent, not-for-profit organization founded by vets for vets.
To help, visit pva.org.
I knew I was stuck at this kid's house for the night, but those guys snuck up on me to try and pull the hand in a bowl of warm water trick. Well, that was enough for me. I went downstairs to sleep in the basement, even though it was pitch black. I left my sleeping bag upstairs, and that was a mistake, because it was freezing. I think it was probably the longest night of my life. To read more about the sleepover, check out Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Last Straw by Jeff Kenney. Explore new worlds and check out more cool books at your local library and visit read.gov. Brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
You're receiving Downtown Nashua's other free wireless service. No computer required. We're 1590 WSMN.
We're back with WSMN 1590 Israel is Real, and I believe we've got Mark back on the phone. Mark, are you there?
Yes, I'm with you.
Excellent. Okay, would you like to continue where you left off? We're very sorry about that.
Not a problem. I was speaking regarding Dr. Block and the older gentleman that I met at the
that I met at the library. Dr. Black, later on I discovered, is a scholar, a Torah scholar, and a professor of philosophy, a retired professor of philosophy at University of Western Ontario. Very reputable person, and he invited me to speak to the congregational rabbi and get a little bit more details. The details that I got was the details that I mentioned earlier, calling my parents and trying to get as much details as possible from my mother, which didn't get me anywhere. So I called my grandma and spoke to both her and my grandfather. My grandma told me better memories that she had growing up, and actually she wept a little about a brother of hers that apparently lost his life during the struggle before 1948.
In Jerusalem?
In Jerusalem, yes, correct. Mm-hmm. He was killed during some of the demonstration or something like that, so I went and reported to people around me, and we did a little bit of investigation about names and families and all of that. But all of this did not get me to go to shul, go to synagogue, and to pray. Until I just felt like going after perhaps 4 or 5 months later on, something happened with me, and I just thought it's a calling, and I went and visited the synagogue.
So now I'm a little bit curious about when you spoke to your grandmother. What was her reaction? You said your mother that your mother you couldn't get anything out of her, but you went and spoke to your grandmother. And what was your grandmother's reaction when you asked her?
My grandmother was, you know, I could say she was shocked, and her reaction was she was not answering my questions directly, but she was answering by saying her brother, what happened to her brother Zeki, and who killed him, and this and that. She went on and some. I believe it's a painful matter for her. I mean, it's her family that she left, and she kind of she didn't really answer any of my questions that I asked. My mom is the one who said the key word that my grandma converted to Islam, and she is born. My mom is born as a Muslim to her Muslim father. That means we are Muslim.
I have a question. How came that your grandmothers came to the decision to marry a Jordanian soldier at the time when Jews were fighting for the survival of their flooding state? Is an unusual one, yes.
That is true. That is true. And I'm not sure what it is. Love is stronger than, I guess, wars and other stuff like that. And my grandmother had I always knew a story growing up. My grandparents used to tell us that my grandma used to jump on top of a wall, a fence from her school, and run away to go see my grandpa. He used to show up in the uniform. This is exact words.
Your grandfather was then a Jordanian soldier?
He was a soldier for the Jordanian army. He's originally Palestinian from Shechem, from Nablus.
So what your grandmother family think about? How was the reaction? Did they remain in contact with your grandmother?
To be honest, I cannot answer this question because I don't know. All I know is that my grandma did not go back to Israel or to the West Bank for years and years. Then the time that I remember her going, which is when my mom, of course, told us, when my grandpa drove in 1994 after the peace agreement was signed between Jordan and Israel. Mm-hmm. They went down, and she visited her family and visited his, but never that I heard of her family, not even my grandpa's family, to be honest.
Really?
I assume that they both chose each other.
Without the families. No families.
They chose each other and built a new family.
Yeah.
And they went to live in Jordan. And how did you end up in Kuwait?
They went to live in Jordan. My grandparents, my grandpa worked for the Jordanian army, as I mentioned, and was stationed in a place close to a city called Zarqa. When he was in his early 40s, they let him go. They let anybody that is a let's say, an army man from a Palestinian background, they would let you go early, or they fire early, or send you to retirement, because at that time there was some sort of instability in Jordan. And there was,
1970?
The 70s, 60s, 70s, and okay. People were doubting of Palestinians because of the attempts on
the
late King Hussein's
life. Black September, okay.
Exactly, by PLO and their collaborates. Mm. So that was his lot, and next thing you know, there was a new country that just opened its doors up for employment, and that was Kuwait. They ended up moving to Kuwait. At that time, my mom was young.
Yeah.
And
sorry, you were born in Kuwait, or where were you born?
I was born in Kuwait.
Okay. And sorry, did you want to... I had another question. Did you want to finish what you were saying?
No. Continue.
Okay. Well, I wanted to go back. You said back to the synagogue. And it took you a while after you met this Mr. Block, and you went to speak to the congregation, but you didn't actually go to pray. And you said then you went back about 5 or 6 months later. Tell us about that experience of actually being in the synagogue as a congregant now.
See, I mean, even when I felt like perhaps want to learn a little bit about this newfound religion, Judaism, in my view at least. I didn't know anything about it, and I thought, maybe I should go, maybe I shouldn't. I was really intimidated by the thought in my mind that everybody else were going to be different than me, and I'm going to, you know, seem like I'm the Middle Eastern, and everybody else is going to be North American, and I'm going to be the odd one out, and people are not going to accept me. This is the whole challenge in my mind. That day, I was off of work for some time. I injured my wrist, and I thought, I'm going to just go to a synagogue. I was told to come over any Sabbath I want to. So I took a cab. I couldn't drive. I took a cab, and I went to the synagogue. The cab let me off right in front of the synagogue where people could see me taking a cab, which is not a very thing to do.
Yeah,
it's not the sabbatical vehicle that we are usually using.
So I end up going in, open the door, and lo and behold, I was just embraced by everyone. The first person I saw in front of me was a Jew from an Indian background, and there was another person that was a black person that was standing in the back praying next to Dr. Block. I got in; everybody was welcoming. Nobody asked me any tough questions. Where are you from? What's your background? Any of that stuff until later on.
You mean like we are?
And, yeah. You're asking more questions than anyone else so far. That welcoming experience kind of, I think it reversed everything that I had in my mind, reversed all the fear and made me even more forthcoming. I simply jumped into it. Somebody handed me a siddur and I started reading just as like a thirsty person that have, you know,
In Hebrew, in English?
It was in English, half English, half Hebrew. Yeah. At that time, my Hebrew skills were zero.
I don't think so. But yeah. Your Arabic skills were very good.
Right, yeah, I do speak good Arabic. I prayed and I started reading, and I fell in love with what I was reading, and I became emotional. And at the end, by the end of the after prayer, we had a kiddush. And everybody was asking me where I'm going for Shabbos. And, of course, where am I going? I was thinking I'm going to go home. The rabbi and Dr. Block were literally fighting over who's going to have me at their home. No, I'm going to have them. No, I'm going to have them. You'll have them next week. Okay, you'll have them one after. People were just doing it that way. I was shocked. Look at the generosity. Look at the acceptance. Look at, you know, the beautiful way of looking at a different new thing, different phenomena. You know, Jews are always curious about knowledge. They want to learn. They want to see. They want to, you know, absorb more information. And I understood that later on. I mean, the more I learned, I understood that this is a part of the religion. This is a part of a people of Israel. And here I am.
In your opinion, yes. Welcome. In your opinion, what are the fundamental differences between Islam and Judaism? You start making the, you know, you start drawing the differences in the last 2-3 sentences that you speak about your experience. So can you please
expand on that?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if I'm an authority to really dissect both religions, yet Islam is, the religion of Islam is smaller and more recent. So you have a few resources to look at. There's the Quran, which I haven't really studied it in Kuwait. Thank God. I hope my parents were secular and they were not pushing us towards religious education. At the same time, it made me want to understand what is going on. Islam thinks because they're the last religion, everybody else should be Muslim. They say that there are Christians and there are Jews out there, and we would live with them in peace. At the same time, they would tell you that their books have changed, and they're no longer the same Christians or Muslim or Jews that existed back in the
you,
day.
You mean, now, the, for example, the Torah and the New Testament?
And the New Testament mm-hmm. are changed, and they're not valid, they're not the same. And they were called Christians, idol worshippers, and stuff like that. So when it came to this point, you would not see acceptance of others. While in Judaism, people, I met a lot of Israelis and a lot of Jews in different countries, different places that I've been, and I hear the same exact sentence as if everybody agrees to it. People ask me, where are you from? What's your background? So I say what my background is, and I, you know, get closer and I say, well, I'm Jewish also. People say, well, we don't care. You're Jewish, you're Muslim, Christian, we don't care. Mm-hmm. As long you're a good person, you're our friend, we like you as you are. This is what I get from Israelis and Jews. This is something that makes me feel included, verified as a person, as a human being. Mm-hmm. So I got attracted to Judaism from the beginning with these few gentle, let's say, these little remarks or these small gestures.
I would say that we need to say thank you for your family, that they teach you and they educate you and they raise you, being first secular and second being able to think that you would like to try different kind of things.
I was always open-minded, honestly, to religions. Most of my friends back here, when I lived in Jordan for a bit, for 3 years, most of my friends were Christian, for example, and I was invited to Christmas dinners and stuff like that. I never really had an issue, you know. As long as I have nothing to do with the religion itself, I am a participating person in the joyful social activity. Once again, just all religions call for goodness. All religion calls for let's say the Ten Commandments in a way or another. Some people have it, some people don't. They call for that. But when it comes to reality is when we discover what our faith is all about. And the difference is that Judaism lives up to, you know, the day that we are in history, and we are always learning. And if that stops, like how Muslims perceive things, let's say, I'm not speaking negatively of anyone, but I think Muslims should take that approach also and grow and reform their religion a little bit with the modern day that we are in order to include others and at the same time accept others for their differences. It's good to have a variety of different religions and social backgrounds. That makes us a strong community, I would say. So, until then.
Mm-hmm. We have to go for a break, but I'd like to, I had a few questions, now they just went out of my head, but about how you've come to embrace Judaism and observe, regard yourself as Jewish. I think we can maybe start with that when we come back from the break. So we'll talk to you in about a minute. This is WSMN 1590, Israel, Nashua's News and Talk.
1590 WSMN.
And WSMNradio.com.
I seriously can't believe you're gonna do this.
Hey, man, believe it.
Look, I know you'll learn stuff that'll help you with a job in engineering, but, buddy, listen, once you walk through those doors,
No.
Yes, look.
I'm still gonna be here at home.
Huh?
I'm gonna keep my job, work full time, hang out with you, and be a soldier.
I don't get it.
You're completely clueless about the National Guard, aren't you?
The National Guard is a unique opportunity and a unique experience. You're a soldier. You serve your community as well as your country. You train part-time close to home. And you do it all while you work or attend college full-time.
Look at you. Now you're even thinking about it. You're going to walk in with me, aren't you?
All right, wipe that smile off your face.
Oh, come on. You know you want to come in.
Take the first steps to building your career while serving your community and country part-time. Start at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the New Hampshire National Guard, aired by the New Hampshire Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Radio and television have been part of your daily life for as long as you can remember, so why not make a career out of it? Visit NHAB.org, the online home of the New Hampshire Association of Broadcasters, to learn more about over-the-air broadcasting. Interested in pursuing a career in radio or television? Whether it be on the air or behind the scenes, many Granite State stations are looking for motivated people just like you. Visit our online job bank at NHAB.org to view current job openings and even post your resume for potential employers. You can also access a list of upcoming job fairs in New Hampshire as well as NHAB-sponsored events. Students, if you're studying over-the-air broadcasting, apply for the NHAB Student Broadcaster Scholarship and learn about available internships at local stations. It's easy to navigate, full of useful resources, and it's only a click away. NHAB.org, the online source of Granite State Broadcasting.
40 kilometers northwest of Kandahar, Afghanistan, at a remote desert military base, American soldiers are playing video games. There are cold drinks, coffee, snacks, and comfy chairs. There's an internet connection, a putting green, frisbees, and footballs. There are DVDs, books, games, and guitars. There are toothbrushes, shaving cream, body wipes, and shampoo. This is today's USO. It's the USO to Go program, with all of the above and more, selected and ordered directly by the troops themselves, packaged and shipped anywhere in the world. Today, it's just one of the ways the USO supports our troops, lifts their spirits, and serves as the link between them and the American people. People just like you. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, visit us at USO.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
Live local talk just for Nashua and just right here. Weekday mornings on 1590 WSMN.
We're back on WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk, with Israel is Real. We're two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. We'd like to thank another one of our sponsors and remind you that we do stay on the air with your support. And one of our very wonderful, consistent sponsors is Mr. Vern Main. Countries depend for much of their success and security on their intellectual prowess and advanced technology. Many companies from here and abroad depend on the patent attorneys at Vern Main and Associates to obtain U.S. or global patent protection for their new ideas. Vern Main and Associates is an intellectual property law firm right here in Nashua. For professional legal counseling on all intellectual property matters, contact the legal specialists at Vern Main and Associates at their offices right here in Main Street, 100 Main Street in Nashua, or on the web at vernmaine.com, vernmaine.com. That's vernmaine.com. And we're back speaking with Mark Halawa, who was brought up as a Muslim and has now discovered that he is also a Jew. And we're having a really interesting discussion. Hi, Mark. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm right here.
Excellent. We were going to talk about your embrace of Judaism, but because we only have a very short time for our show, we'd like to ask you, actually, move into some of the things you're doing today. Being both a Muslim, having been brought up as a Muslim, and according to your lineage, according to the father, you're still a Muslim, I guess, and now according to your mother, you're a Jew. So you're a bit of both, you know, as many of us seem to be these days. But you're in a very unique position in this case to educate or re-educate both Muslims and Jews and Christians, everybody, about both peoples. Can you tell us about, I know that you're involved in some educational projects and things like that. What are you doing today?
Well, it's a burden, and it's it sounds fun, but it's not as fun as we would think it is. I shot an interview a couple of weeks ago with a Holocaust survivor. His name is Alex Levine. He wrote a book called "The Under the Red and Yellow Stars." He's a famous gentleman in a sense that he was in a famous documentary with Father Dubois, the Catholic priest that went to Ukraine and Poland to basically go after certain events that were not reported. The Holocaust by bullets were crew were finding areas where people were prosecuted and looking for bullets and getting the accounts of the actual villagers and farmers that lived in the area. So I thought that was a very strong documentary, and I contacted Alex, which lives in Toronto, and he was very kind and generous of giving me some of his time. So I sat down with him, and I had an interview with him that I would consider the first interview with a Holocaust survivor in Arabic.
Oh, now, wow. Interesting.
Thank you. He doesn't speak Arabic, so what do we do? So I thought I would interview him, and I would have an intro in Arabic for those in the Middle East are interested in hearing about this, and put it on YouTube, since there's nothing on YouTube that describes the internet to Arabs so far. There's a couple of very shy attempts, but nothing of multitude that I want to. So I went and did this, and right now we're finishing the last touch-ups on the editing of the video, and it's going to be on YouTube free for people to watch anywhere in the world.
Excellent, excellent. So in this way, you're able to reach both Arabs, and also you will educate Jews and other and the whole world. That's excellent.
Thank you.
What else do you have on the horizon?
I'm focusing on creating actually a social media network right now, relating to putting information out there on the internet for, let's say, Middle Easterners are curious. I think a lot of people, the majority, are curious about the whole conflict and who are Jews. People that we hear about all the time in a very bad light, negative light. People become curious and they want to learn from my humble experience here in Toronto and in London, Ontario. While going to university, I would meet people from Saudi Arabia or from Dubai, and next thing you know, when they discover that I'm Jewish, they ask me the same questions. What do you guys do in the synagogue? What is religion all about? How do you pray? How many times do you pray? They ask me all these simple questions that they really don't know. And I thought, if people could see that the way we pray and the way we live and we care for our families and children and we work like everybody else, and you know, we'd kind of calm down the misconceptions, or at least have them understand us as human beings first, which is a very important part. If I could accomplish that part, I'll be very happy. Maybe I'm not very, eligible to discuss detailed politics or discussions of that sort. So I thought, I'll just educate the listeners about Jews and have them ask questions. Send me videos through YouTube asking me questions about Judaism and about whichever topics relates to this particular topic from their way of seeing it. And I want to hear their questions. I want to answer their questions.
It's amazing to see, you know, part of what we do here at our radio show on Israel is Real is to try and do the same thing, is to sort of educate people about the real things that are out there and not the things that you hear in the media and the propaganda. And so it sounds like the people that you're meeting, as you said, you were brought up with a lot of propaganda, with a lot of misinformation, and the people that you're meeting as well. And it's great that you'll be sort of this person, this real life person that can show them the reality and not the lies and not the things that are made up, the distortions, as we were speaking about this when we started the show. So that's very.
I very much hope so. There isn't many people that are willing to make that step forward because they'll be alienated by the community and being put down as collaborators and traitors and all of that stuff. So I'm trying to approach it in a very gentle manner. I'm not telling anybody the wrong, and I'm not telling anybody the right. I'm just saying, let us learn about these bunch of people that we think bad about or badly about. How do they pray? How do they live? What do they do? What are their life all about? And what is Shabbat? What is the other details? So,
well, Mark,
I think it's a good thing, and it's the right time to do so right now.
I think you're a very important link here. How can people get in touch with you? Do you have a website, or do you have a contact information? How can people speak with you if they want to get to know you more, or hear more of your story? Because we only have such a short time to hear it, and there's so much more we'd love to talk to you about. How can people find
you? Well, we have a website under construction right now. It should be ready next Wednesday. It's called mersad.ca. Mersad is MERSAD.ca. It stands for Middle East Research Solutions and Development. It is under construction, but you could find a link to email me from there. And you could find me on Facebook, Mark Hallowa. My first and last name. Last name is Hallawa. I welcome ideas. I'm always willing to listen and have new friends, so feel free.
That's excellent. So I'll repeat that. You can find Mark. His name is Mark Hallowa, and you can find him on Facebook, MARKHALAWA, and there will be a website up sometime next week, which is mersad.ca. That's MERSAD.ca. Mark, unfortunately... Do you have a few last words? Not last words for, but I mean, just for our show, because we are going to cut for another, not for a break, but we have another person we're bringing on just to end our show. How about a good, a message or something? You still there?
Knowledge is light. The best way to fight a lot of the misconceptions and darkness that comes from that side of the world is with knowledge, and I encourage younger people and encourage everybody to utilize social media right now. YouTube reaches everywhere, could never be blocked. Same with other social medias. I encourage everybody, students, university, everyone, to just reach out and do as much as possible to educate people about who we are. Let's not always be defensive. Let's just go on and speak about how we really are, who we really are. And show people that Israel is a great nation, great country with many faces and many backgrounds and many races and religions. And there's no discrimination, and everybody's treated equally under the law. And that's what people need to understand.
And you have been there.
I have been there. Yeah, it was last summer, and I'm going again this summertime.
Well, maybe we'll see you there.
Baruch haba.
Bezrat Hashem, well.
L'shana ba'a b'Yerushalayim. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Okay.
So thank you, Mark. It was a pleasure to speak with you, and we hope we'll meet you in person one day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the
good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos
to you as well. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So that was Mark Hallowa. And again, you can reach him at www.mersad.ca after next week sometime. And on Facebook, Mark Hallowa, MARKHALAWA.
And please let us know, what do you think about this show, and in general about every show, in our email.
Yes, and our email is israelisreal1590@gmail.com, israelisreal1590@gmail.com. And as is customary, we are going to finish our show today with our Devar Torah, We like to speak a little bit about what's in the Torah each week. And
today, because it's a holy day, we ask from Rabbi David.
Rabbi David Cohen Henriquez, who was our guest a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And we are asking him, he again will be by phone, to give us a little bit of Devar Torah today about Tu B'Shvat. And Rabbi David, are you there?
Hello, Rachel, Sonia, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good to have you back.
thank you. Pleasure to be back.
What can you tell us this week for our holiday and our Torah?
Well, we're having one holiday, which 3 years becoming one of my favorites for some reason. It's called Tu B'Shvat, which means the 15th of Shvat. It's just the name of the holiday. Same thing as saying the 4th of July. And it's a very ancient holiday. It was back in the day. It comes from old times. It used to be first. People knew to mark the day for dividing the tithes, the products that they were going to bring to the temple for as an offering to God, thanking for the creation of the world, of trees, of fruits. It's a very, very meaningful holiday. You know, the agriculture and people who ate the fruits just didn't think, well, this is my land, this is mine. It was always to acknowledge that things come from a higher place, in this case, from God. Later on, it became a very much of a taxation day. You know, like, well, we need to decide what day the products from the old year or fiscal year, which one is the new year. So it became the new years of trees. By the time of the Mishnah, they call it like that, the new year of trees, which was the 15th of the month, perfect time because of seasons changing everything right in the middle. And then
In Israel, they change.
Israel,
right?
Yes. And then as we left the land, the Romans and later on, living all around the world, it needed to have a different meaning in some way for keeping it in people's minds, but at the same time have the link with the land. It was a mitzvah, a commandment that only could happen in the land. So 3 years, especially in medieval times in Europe and some other places later on in Sfat, the Kabbalists developed these beautiful rituals, a Seder. They recreated a Seder of Pesach, but based on Tu B'Shvat. And they have four types of, for example, of wine. Beautiful ceremony in which the wine changes color from white to red, progressively adding a little bit of more red wine until it becomes fully dark wine. There's also nice traditions of eating different types of fruits and nuts, depending on where their shell is. And everything in the Seder, in this meal, has a symbolic reason behind it. It's fantastic. Later on, also, with the birth of the state of Israel, it had a different meaning now. It was about populating the land with trees. You know, we needed trees to live in this land. So I remember the holiday when I was a kid in school, it was giving money, usually to places, I think it was the National Fund, or Karen Kayemet did that too. Can you remind me there? But there was a lot of places in Israel where you could send money and they would plant trees, and you could even plant trees at your school or your home. So the beauty of it's always had, just as Judaism, had many, many different meanings. We had the seeds in biblical times, then the trunk starts growing, expulsion, then medieval times, and then we have branches nowadays that goes from modern philosophers and the modern state of Israel. Anyway, it's just as a tree. You can see it, and if you're a poet, a doctor, whatever you, carpenter, everybody will see something different on the tree. Same way it's this holiday. Everything, it's about the trees, about the power of nature, but at the same time, something more. And that's what up to every Jew to add into the conversation. What is that little more?
And we remember that the Torah is the tree of life.
The tree of life. Etz Chaim Hi.
Etz Chaim Hi.
L'machazikim ba.
L'machazikim ba. Rabbi David, thank you so much. We're kind of out of time, but we really appreciate that you're here with us again.
And Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, and we'll call you back again, I hope, in the future. And
Shabbat Shalom.
Rabbi David, you are at Temple Israel in Manchester.
That's right. Shabbat Shalom, everybody, and hope to see you soon.
Shabbat Shalom.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'd like to say Shabbat Shalom in Israel also, and Shabbat Shalom here in Nashua. We'd like to thank Mark Halawa, our guest today, and also Rabbi David from Temple Israel. If you would like to plant a tree, today is a good day in Israel. It's the jnf.org, Jewish National Fund.org. This is Israel is Real. We're Rachel and
Sonia.
WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk.
Connecting you to the news of the day.
Because communication is the beginning of understanding.